From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines a bit later this hour. Well, last week, Dr. Lewis Turry talked about some kind of prediction over the weekend. He said it would be a major disaster announced by law enforcement. I did not see anything. I scanned all over the place. If you did, help me out and send me a fast blast if you would. Next hour, Lloyd Pye with an update on the skull called the Star Child. Also a look at alien and human hybrids. Well, here's some quick news of the day. No damage reported Monday after an earthquake hit western Tennessee. Now, what's going on? The tremor was felt throughout the region, including parts of southern and eastern Missouri. Some friends of mine in St. Louis felt a little rumbling. The 3.9 magnitude quake hit at 7:21 a.m. Central Daylight Time. It was centered near Clinton in Hickman County. It moved the floor, some people said. It was also felt in southern Illinois and northwest Tennessee. They do not believe the quake originated from the New Madrid Fault, but they're just not sure. Earlier this month, a 4 tremor was felt across northwest Tennessee and southwest Kentucky. 5 moderately strong earthquakes rocked buildings across a wide area of Japan's main island, injuring at least one person. The first 2 quakes there, measuring magnitude 5.6, 4.1. And just guess, in the next day or two, we'll have a full moon. I think Jim Berkland's onto something with his theories about the full moon, new moon theory. A cannabis-based painkiller for multiple sclerosis patients went on sale in Canada on Monday, the first country to approve the spray derived from the marijuana plant. It's called Sativex. It can now be obtained by prescription through Canadian pharmacies, according to Bayer Healthcare. They're the maker of the drug. Health Canada, the federal agency that oversees medical care for Canadians, announced in April it had approved Sativex, made from the components derived from the cannabis plant that have been shown to ease pain. Medical professionals welcome the availability of this. Well, just look at the gasoline prices at the pump. They will go back up. Crude oil now soaring near $60 a barrel. $60. New heights. Why? Who knows? They're just making a lot of money on us. The director of the CIA says that he has an excellent idea where Osama bin Laden is hiding, but the United States' respect for sovereign nations, he says, makes it more difficult to capture the al-Qaeda chief. In an interview with Time magazine, Peter Goss was asked about the progress of the hunt for bin Laden. This is what he said. When you go to the question of dealing with sanctuaries and sovereign states, you're dealing with a problem of our sense of international obligation, fair play. We have to find a way to work in a conventional world in unconventional ways. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that because we went into Afghanistan when the Taliban government there refused to play ball with us. That's when we went in. So if there's some other country that's not helping us find Osama bin Laden and we know he's there, well, I think maybe we have an obligation to go get him. At least 8 car bombs exploded across Iraq on Monday, killing about 30 people as insurgents defied a widespread U.S.-Iraqi security clampdown. In the Kurdish city of Arbil, a suicide bomber drove his car right into a crowd of police recruits, killing at least 12, wounding about 100. They were all out there on a soccer field. And Saddam Hussein apparently loves Doritos, hates Fruit Loops, admires the late President Reagan, thinks Clinton was okay, and considers both Presidents Bush no good. He talks a lot, worries about germs, and insists that he is still the president of Iraq. Those and other details of the deposed Iraqi leader's life in the U.S. military custody appears in the July issue of GQ magazine, based on interviews with 5 Pennsylvania National Guardsmen who went to Iraq in 2003 and were assigned to Saddam's guard detail for nearly 10 months. 16 foreign-born construction workers, by the way, with phony immigration documents, were able to enter a nuclear weapons plant in eastern Tennessee because of lax security. Controls at the Y-12 weapons plant have been tightened, they say, and there was no evidence that the workers had access to any sensitive documents. A solar sail spacecraft launches on Tuesday to demonstrate an elegant new way to power interplanetary probes. It's called the Cosmos One mission. It is privately funded. Now, half of the money is coming from a television studio, and liftoff will be from a Russian submarine. The sail reflects particles of light or photons from the sun, and it gains momentum in the opposite direction and drives the spacecraft forward. Some think solar sails offer a cheaper, faster form of spacecraft propulsion. The U.S., European, and Japanese and Russian space agencies also have solar sail programs in the works. A trainee nun who was crucified in an exorcism at a monastery in eastern Romania and then left to die has been buried in a religious ceremony. She died last week after being tied to a cross, gagged, and starved. The principal monk there said she was possessed by the devil. He has been charged with false imprisonment leading to death. Should have been charged with murder. The Dalai Lama has admitted mosquitoes drive him crazy because his Buddhist faith, however, requires that he cannot kill them. He says even when the insects bite him, he's supposed to stay calm and just shoo them away instead. Basically, he says it really annoys him, but he still does not kill them. Well, a nun in the Philippines is dead. His name, Cardinal Sin, a driving force between two Philippine power plays of revolts, died in a hospital. He was 77 years old. He had a kidney problem. Well, picture this. You're asleep in your house. All of a sudden, you wake up, and there was a car on top of you. Well, that's what happened in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. A vehicle went airborne, running off a highway, plowing through a house, landing on top of a man who was asleep in his bed. Everybody seems to be okay now. The bed and other furniture were crushed. He was lucky. The mattress saved him. Batman, by the way, Batman Begins has made its debut as the number one hit at the North American box office, taking in $49.9 million, but they say the film's performance failed to halt a very long-term decline in box office takings in the United States and Canada, apparently the worst slump in 20 years for people going to movies. Of course, as you know, we continue to talk about the Amityville Horror in that new movie that's out. Well, George Lutz, the real George Lutz, is being haunted again, and only this time he says it's not by supernatural forces. He said it's the movie. So he has filed a suit in Los Angeles County Superior Court claiming that he's been libeled by this year's movie remake of the horror flick. The movie is based on the real-life story of Lutz and his family who moved into a home in Amityville, Long Island, New York, not long after six people had been murdered there by a previous owner. The Lutzes fled within days, claiming the house was haunted, and of course their story became the basis for a bestseller, and then spawned several movies. Lutz, who now lives in Las Vegas, is not happy with how he is portrayed in the latest film. He said it shows him as a homicidal maniac. During the course of the movie, Lutz is portrayed killing his dog with an axe, attacking his son with an axe, building coffins for his wife and three children, trying to drown his wife, chasing his wife and children off of a pitched roof of the house. He said he never did any of that. A four-year-old Romanian boy survived on his own for nearly a week in the mountains. He earned the nickname Little Tarzan by eating wild strawberries, drinking rainwater, and sleeping in a den. He got lost after he accompanied a shepherd and his flock almost 10 miles from his home. There is a non-for-profit organization called Aliens and Children. They are not writing books. They are not taking money. But what they are trying to do is get the word out about a helmet, which they claim is an effective device to stop alien abductions. In a moment, our guest, Michael Mencken, as we talk about this situation on Coast to Coast AM. Michael Mencken has over 30 years of experience in high technology and marketing and technical writing. He has worked for the Boeing Company, AT&T, Panasonic Avionics, the University of Washington, the University of California San Francisco Medical Center at Mount Zion, the University of California's Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, Pacific Avionics, Western Applied Research and Development at Space Labs Medical, and many others. He was one of the original writers of NASA tech briefs and contributed to the federal government's technology utilization program for disseminating NASA technology to private industry in the 70s. He's got a BA degree in political science, a member of the National Honor Society Phi Kappa Phi. He's also a member of the Sons of the American Revolution, a 32-year member of the United States Naval Institute, and was in a Lieutenant JG, that's junior grade, in the United States Coast Guard. He's our guest this moment. Michael, how are you?
Good. How are you tonight,
good,
George?
Good. Now, you are darn serious about this helmet, aren't you?
Yes, I'm dead serious. I have been making thought screen helmets since 1968 and have made them for people all over America, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, and even the Republic of South Africa.
Now, tell me why you started making these.
Well, I had read accounts of alien abductions by Bud Hopkins, and I also read accounts by Dave Jacobs, and I surmised from my own studies that aliens communicate telepathically, and I also surmised that telepathy was some form of microwave energy, and from my experience, any kind of microwave energy can be blocked or jammed. So I came up with the idea of what I call a thought screen, which is actually from the novels of E.E. Doc Smith, who wrote a lot about telepathy. I made hats with different materials. I found people to test them, and I found a hat that worked, and I have been making hats ever since and sending them out.
Now, the material that you use to make these hats, why is it so effective?
It's called Velostat. It's a carbonized plastic that conducts electricity, and evidently its conductance is the right conductance to block this kind of microwave energy.
Now, how do you know this works, Michael?
I know it works from the experience that I've had. I've had people who have forgotten to wear the hat, and they have been beaten by hybrids. I have had children threatened by aliens. And in one case, I had a mother and a child both wearing hats. The child was reluctant to wear the hat, so the aliens harassed her and kept telling her that something terrible would happen if her mother kept wearing the hat, and her mother eventually stopped wearing the hat, and they were both taken. And the mother said that the aliens clearly do not like the hat. I have another abductee who has had several dogs as pets, and she was a nurse. She couldn't wear the hat all the time. And the aliens communicated to her that they would kill her dog if she didn't cooperate. Well, so far she's lost two dogs in a row, and she took the first dog to a veterinarian, and he said that the spinal cord was cut internally, and he couldn't figure out why. I have another case of a woman in Wisconsin who was living with her three boys, and she thought that at least one of the boys was being taken, and she asked me to send her some hats. I said, well, I didn't have time to make them, but I sent her leather hats and the Velostat. And when she got the material, the aliens threatened her and told her to stay away. So they definitely were threatened by the hat. I have other accounts like that, too, so I'm pretty sure I've got something that works.
Michael, what is it about the hat that kind of pushes the aliens away?
They can't communicate with people, and I found that the hat actually works better than I thought. If they can't communicate with people, they don't take them. I do have one exception of a person who was eventually overcome, and I'm going to make her a hat of more shielding. But most of my cases are successful cases.
So you believe what aliens try to do is they use some kind of telepathy.
Right.
Now, by doing that, then they know where the person is, what happens, because then you say they get abducted?
Right, that's right. And they also get abducted during the day if they just wear the helmet at night. That's one thing we found out the hard way. So
you have to wear this thing all the time?
I have about five or six people who wear hats 24/7, and they've been wearing hats 24/7 for years. I have a woman in Lassen County, California, who has been wearing both my baseball cap and leather hat for about a year and a half, and she now has videos of aliens.
She's got videos of the aliens?
Oh, yeah.
Can you get a copy of this for us?
Yeah, I haven't edited them because they, you know, some of it's blurry and some of it's not, but I do have some creatures on the videos, and as well as UFOs.
What do these creatures look like?
They're kind of humanoid, actually. One group is humanoid. The other, it looks like they actually carry their atmosphere with them. You can see them walking with a, kind of a white cloud, a shroud around them. And we have one that she says you can actually see the body, and it looks like a gray. So she's actually making more. We're sending them to the Irish UFO Society, who's interested in showing them for their August annual meeting. I actually have given the tapes to WAGTV in the United Kingdom, and I was just interviewed by a local TV station here, KINGTV, and I'm going to give them copies of the tapes too.
Okay, Michael, I've just read your bio. I mean, you've got an incredible resume. You've worked for some very heavy Fortune 500 companies. You don't appear to be a whack job here. You sound like you know what you're talking about.
I've studied it a lot. I make the hats myself. It takes me 3.5 hours to make a leather hat, a little less than that to make a baseball cap. I do interview people. I use the criteria that Dave Jacobs has for selecting abductees. So, I think that I know what I'm doing, and I'm actually getting evidence. Now, I also have drawings of aliens made by children who were abducted by aliens, and that's on a website.
Now, do you wear a hat yourself?
I sometimes wear a hat, but I don't wear it all the time, no. I've never had an encounter so far.
So are these primarily then for people who have already had an encounter as opposed to anybody who just wants to wear one of these?
Right. They're only for people who have had an encounter, and I do have a website that's an instructional website. It's a public service website. It tells you how to make one, where to get the materials. Has step-by-step instructions, but there's nothing for sale on the website.
Okay. Now, that you're concerned a lot about children.
That's correct.
Why is that?
Because the aliens take children as well as adults. Aliens evidently do some kind of genetic studies, and they'll take an entire family. In the drawings that I have on the website, not only were the children being taken, but the mother was being taken, her mother was being taken, and then her grandmother is still being taken, who doesn't want to wear the hat. I'm concerned about children because children are traumatized, and I think that children are also hurt by the aliens. They do some kind of medical procedures that make children sick. So, I am concerned with stopping abductions, especially in children.
I'm going to read a quote by a fellow by the name of John Locke, who apparently is an alien abductee. It says, "Since trying Michael Mencken's helmet, I've not been bothered by alien mind control. Now my thoughts are my own. I have achieved meaningful work, and I'm contributing to society. My life is better than ever before. Thank you, Michael." I've got to ask you this, Michael, because sure, we've got about a minute or so to go. I have had guests on this program before who talk about the very real beaming of information into Americans that might be coming from other sources, microwaves, electromagnetic waves. Is it also possible that maybe these people aren't getting abducted by aliens, but maybe they're getting bombarded somehow by something on this planet, and your helmet somehow is a shield for that?
That may be a different matter. I think that it might work for some other forms of microwave energy. I did contact another woman who deals with microwave energy in people, and I have talked with several people like the ones you mentioned, and have also promised to make them helmets. So it might work for them, too.
It just might. Now, you have a couple websites, stopabductions.com,
right,
and aliensandchildren.org.
That's right.
Two separate ones. And the second one was what, your non-for-profit public service site?
Stopabductions.com tells people how to make a helmet. It's not non-profit. Aliens and Children really goes into the abduction phenomenon more and features the drawings of children, which is more evidence of alien abductions, but they're both nonprofit. There's nothing for sale on them at all.
All right, so you're not selling books or product, but you will make hats for people if they want them.
For absolutely free.
Oh, for free?
They're free.
So who's eating the costs of the material?
I am.
You are?
I just.
How many of these do you make?
I made over 50. I mean, I spend almost every weekend, every other weekend, making hats, leather hats, and baseball caps. It's my own money, my own time.
All right.
They are sent all over the world for free.
Okay, Michael. I'll tell you what. You're a rarity.
It's the only thing that works, and I do have evidence that I'm making some progress.
All right. If you need to get a hold of Michael Mankin, then you heard him. You can just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and link yourself right up with his two related websites. Michael, thanks for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that. I'll be back in a moment with open lines. The numbers are ready for you at West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. Well, you know, with oil prices soaring to very close to $60 a barrel now, war in the Middle East, the next frontier, energy. Find out all about it in the July issue of the After Dark newsletter, along with my editorial about Dr. Morgus. You can call 1-888-727-5505 or go online, that's safe and secure, coasttocoastam.com. To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going west of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Where are you?
I'm in Stockton, California. This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your show. A friend of mine just recently turned me on to you. I've been listening for about 2 months now, and I love the guests, and I love the way you do your interviews. It's really great.
What did your friend tell you about the program in order to get you interested?
He just asked me if I'd ever listened, and I said no. And he said, well, you've got to stay up late some night and tune in to George. And he said he's got all these really interesting guests on, and you'll really like it. So I did, and I do.
And you're hooked. Well, that's good. Now, what brings you to the program tonight?
Well, I wanted to tell you about my experience with the number 8.
I hope it was a good one.
Definitely, definitely. I was on a trip with this friend of mine, mm-hmm. and he told me, I saw this number 8 in his wallet, and I said, what's that? And he told me, you know, all about it. And he said, you've got to get one for you. And so when I got home from my trip, I'd been thinking about selling my house because I keep hearing all these stories about how the economy is going to take a dump. And I didn't want to get stuck with my house because I'd been wanting to sell it for a while, and this was just kind of the impetus to do it.
Sure.
So I sat down and I prayed about it, and I was told to make 4 8s and what colors to make them and where to place them. So I placed one on my refrigerator, one in my wallet, one on my phone, and one on my front door. And then the next day I called and listed my house with a real estate broker. 2.5 days after I listed, it was in escrow.
That's fantastic.
And I got the price that I asked.
That's incredible. See, it does work.
It does. And the reason I know that it's not just a fluke is because my broker specifically told me that she has 5 other properties that are around my same square footage. About 3 of them were listed for less than my house, and a couple were listed for a little bit more. And they've just been sitting there.
I tell you, Cindy, I took my number 8 out of my wallet a few weeks ago and gave it to a friend of mine who's been on some hard times lately.
Uh-huh.
He's doing great. I want my 8 back.
Well, you could just make yourself another one.
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, those of you who are just new to the show, our numbers lady, Glynis McCants, says put an 8 in your wallet or in your computer, in your purse, and it'll bring you riches. Doesn't necessarily have to be financial riches. It'll be riches. And her website is numberslady.com. Wildcard line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Is this me?
It sure is, sir.
Hey, George. It's nice to talk to you again. This is Adam.
Hi,
from
Adam.
Decatur, Illinois.
Sure thing.
I actually wanted to report to you, according to Jay Leno, the government's got enough oil reserved to keep ripping us Americans off for the next 100 years.
I have always believed this planet has enough oil. I'm not a believer in this peak energy theory at all.
And, me neither.
You know, there's just more to meet the eye here. I wish we could get off this. Toyota is working on a good hydrogen car. They say it won't be ready until 2015. They could do it quicker if they had hydrogen filling stations. Maybe something dramatic will happen.
Yeah, that'd be good. Hey, I was wondering if you might consider doing a 6-hour show like you used to in the past.
Oh, 6! I got to get some rest once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I appreciate it.
Okay. But, you know, we're always open to go a little longer during some kind of emergency or crisis. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George from Missoula, Montana.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, first, I just want to thank you for last Thursday for that show. It was really great.
Oh, the roundtable discussion?
Yeah, that was awesome.
We've got another one coming up this week, this Thursday, called God, Man, and E.T. You're going to like that, too.
Oh, definitely. Okay, then, well, first, I wanted to know if you thought that Building 7 was really the key, like Alex Jones said it was, or if you think maybe it's not the key, like Peter Lance was saying. You know, it's important, but it's not the key, like Alex Jones was saying.
I do believe they brought Building 7 down. I don't think Building 7 went down by itself. Be
right.
That as it may, if that's the case, I'm a little puzzled at how they were able to do it so quickly. I know people in the demolition business. It takes weeks to wire up a building if you want to take it down. If you believe right. in the conspiracy that they wired all these buildings for whatever purpose, then that would explain why this thing came down so fast. I don't know. That one's a tough one for me. There's some other evidence, I look at beyond the Building 7. I happen to think that there were people within this country who just turned away because they realized that if something had happened, they would make more money and do some of the things that, quite frankly, are happening right now. I do not believe that they were involved with Al-Qaeda or anything like that, but I do believe they knew what was going to happen, and they turned away on purpose.
Yeah.
And to me, that's criminal.
Yeah. And it's, well, see, Alex Jones said that, well, the Peter Lance camp kind of said that the reason the planes didn't scramble was because, you know, they're humans, they're not automatons, and they were still in shock. But, boy, they sure did bring that building down pretty on time, didn't they?
They sure did. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks. Can you please ask, when you do your alien show, mm-hmm. if they know any about the culture of the aliens, if the aliens had their own astrology?
Sure.
Thanks.
I will do that, and then we'll open up the phone lines, too. Maybe you can get in as well. Just around the corner is Lloyd Pye with his Star Child report. You know, he's been in London for about a year trying to get some DNA evidence with that skull. And he's going to report some of the findings tonight on Coast to Coast. Tomorrow, by the way, isn't Tuesday going to be the first day of summer? Man, the year's almost half through already. Wild Card Line, it's your turn. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Well, I want to talk about Terry Schiavo. Something's been bothering me greatly since the autopsy news, you know, that's been recent.
Yeah.
I've been listening to as much talk radio as I can for their commentary on the autopsy, and surprisingly, it's been kind of sparse. Well, it turns out she did not collapse from an eating disorder, so I want to know, and I haven't heard anyone in the media ask this, who perpetrated the propaganda story that she had an eating disorder? Because if it was Michael, that makes him guilty of sin. What do you think?
I think it was the husband who said that. I think it was the husband who said she had an eating disorder.
Well, that's really condemning then, isn't it? See, I always felt that Terry Schiavo's execution was a slow, barbaric execution of an innocent, handicapped person. It was not a right-to-die case. She wasn't dying. She didn't belong in a hospice. And I'm still shocked. I mean, I hope that people don't forget what we witnessed, you know, and what was allowed.
And she was starved to death.
Yeah, she wasn't terminally ill. It wasn't a right-to-die case.
They starved
and
her to death.
I mean, I couldn't believe the insanity that I had to watch, and that disabled people are in possibly in danger of, you know, with runaway judges. Well, anyway, so but no one in the media has asked then who perpetrated the eating disorder story. Was it her family or was it Michael?
Well, I don't think his problems are over yet. Believe me, I think they're going to be looking at some more things down in Florida. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. First time caller line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Robert. I'm a truck driver. I just wanted to ask on your, I haven't heard anything about Druids. And the other thing is, when I was about 11 years old, about August, I saw a Thunderbird. It was chasing after an owl into a barn up in Ransomville, New York, when I was a kid.
How big was this bird?
It was about the size of an ostrich, but it's had a hook wagon sitting up on its edge. It's about that big.
Did it look more bird-like or prehistoric?
It looked like a more or less like a golden eagle kind of look.
Yeah, I'm convinced that there's some big birds out there. You know, the Indians, of course, called them thunderbirds. There's something there.
Yeah, because I was about like 50 feet away from it, and it was like nighttime, kind of like this, but it was during the full moon, and it was chasing after a barn owl when it. I was out there smoking a cigarette, and this thing plopped out of nowhere, scared the heck out of me, and I just froze, and then it was listening, you know, like they turn their heads, and he heard the owl and went in there the next day, and the bats that were in the barn impaled themselves to the side of the wall.
God, they didn't want anything to do with this thing, did they?
Nope. And the other thing is, I'd like to hear something about Druidry.
Oh, well, we do that around the Halloween era all the time. We talk a little bit about that. I had a call about 4 months ago from a couple that they saw one of these huge birds standing on the side of the road. They thought it might have been a man in some kind of black cloak. It was not. Yeah, they were pretty convinced that it was one of these birds. Maybe it was Mothman. Could have been that, too. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you, by the way?
I'm Cody. I'm in Barling, Arkansas right now at work,
Cody.
In a convenience store. I listen to you every night when I'm closing, and it always reminds me of one of those creepy old horror movies.
Oh, yes.
So I love it. But anyway, I was just calling kind of about the three-colored eye thing. I don't want to call it a hybrid thing because from my research, that's not what I've figured out. I've kind of tried to put two and two together, but this was just my belief because I have my eyes are really dark green, almost black on the outside.
You have pupils, obviously, but
obviously,
but they're huge, I bet.
Yeah, on the outside, my eyes are really dark green, almost black, and it's just like a millimeter, you know, of my eye. Then they go to a deep greenish gray color, and then they're yellow right before they get the pupil.
What do people say about your eyes?
People freak out about my eyes all the time. What color are your eyes?
They think you have, like, contacts in?
Yeah, they've said that before. But they look from a distance, unless you get up close to me. Like, I usually only get questions about it from people at the register.
Anybody in your family have these eyes?
I was just about to get to that. My mother.
Really?
We have almost the exact same eyes.
Mom's a hybrid, too, huh?
And here's the thing. Here's the research I've done. It's kind of coincidental that the guy mentioned Druidry. I've studied a lot. My family is I'm almost 60% Irish, I guess. And, of course, the rest is Native American. The rest is Cherokee.
Yeah.
So I've studied both sides, but I've studied the Irish side really deep. And I went back and I was reading something on the old gods of Ireland, the Fae. I don't know if you've ever read anything about them or anything like that.
I've done a little bit, not a lot.
But they say something about them, that their eyes are very distinctive, that the royalty of the Fae had three-banded irises. There's another lady that's done a lot of research, and she's wrote some fiction on it.
So you might be descendants from them.
Exactly. Laurel K. Hamilton. She's done a lot of research and everything. I don't know if you've ever heard of her.
Sure have.
But anyway, she's also famous for her Nita Blake Vampire Slayer series. But
which I hope you're not.
No, absolutely not. But anyway... that's what kind of started me in on it, because I'd always known my eyes were weird, but I read one of those books one night, and I was like, wow, I've got those eyes.
When you would, like, pose for pictures with your friends in school and stuff like that, and they were colored pictures, and you get
right.
them developed, did people just look at your eyes right away and go, oh, my?
Yeah, because they kind of are lit from within in the pictures. It's weird. That's, like, the only reason I ever get a girl is because my eyes.
Really? They love them, huh?
Yeah, they really do. But I've also had, I mean, there's also some other weird things that, you know, I've been through. Like when I was little, this is going to sound crazy, but when I was little, I used to play with the wind.
You used to play with the wind?
I could make it blow harder or Not quite as hard.
Your name's not Mariah, is it?
No.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it. They call the wind Mariah, those of you who remember that song. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
George, my name is Victor Lee.
Hello, Victor.
And I called you before one time from Tracy, California. I'm now out by Atlanta, Georgia.
You're all over the place, Victor.
Yes, I am. I've done a lot of research in my life, and I discovered something that I've been wanting to tell you guys for forever, okay?
All right. Well, we're ready tonight.
All right. The prehistoric animals, you know, we lost those on the earth here, and we immediately had an ice age on the demise of those things. What it boils down to, what really killed them off that caused their demise, the earth lost barometric pressure during that time. Loss of pressure creates cold, and that's really what created the ice age. And loss of pressure was so dramatic.
What caused the loss of pressure?
Well, if you will look at the North Pole area is dark, deep, cavernous basins there. Underneath the ice cap, the water goes down to like 18,900 feet deep in places. And the Fran Stritch, the water still warms over 3.5 degrees today, okay? Iceland, Greenland are volcanic. When the Earth cooled, the poles cooled more than the equator did, and the stress upon the crust was more stressed at the poles than it was at the equator. Well, that crust contracted until it couldn't contract anymore without breaking. It just so happened that the North Pole was the first pole placed on the Earth to really to break and release violent volcanic release of pressure. It wasn't a lava flow. It was an explosion, okay? And it blew so hard that blew from through the atmosphere that we had around the Earth during the greenhouse effect. Atmospheric pressures were probably around 45 to 4,700 pounds per square foot back then. And it did. It blew a hole in the atmosphere. It really just blew a hole in the atmosphere, and atmospheric pressure began to escape behind it.
So it must have just, it plummeted right away, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It really did. And it blew. You got to think about it. What gases that went out there, carbon dioxide, water, volcanic dust, and those things, and it continuously venting pressure behind it, like, you know, like a booster sending a rocket into the atmosphere, you know?
Victor, you're as good as a scientist.
I'm better than some of these guys, okay? All right, when it did that stuff went out in the atmosphere, and it froze, okay? And it was accelerated by the pressure release of the Earth. I believe that's one thing that created the comets and things that we see today.
But it happened, though, really fast, though, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It was violent. And the pressure dropped so fast that these large prehistoric animals couldn't withstand the depressurization.
Could this happen to us?
It happened to the Earth, yeah, but the Northern Hemisphere...
No, I mean, can it happen again?
No, because we don't have the density of atmospheric pressure to be lost again like we had back then.
Okay. I got to run, Victor. I got to take one or two more calls and then wrap it up. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Oh, hi. Calling you from Detroit, your old hometown.
Yeah.
We've been watching a massive, massive fire since it started around 10, led the 11 o'clock news. They kept on for an hour past, and now they're back on it again at this time.
And, where is this fire?
We're coming up 2 o'clock. It's between John R. and Brush, Piquette, and that street north, which I forget. And it's one of those old buildings, used to be the Studebaker factory that was redeveloped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the Piquette Market was in there, and they had brought in the hotel fixtures to sell and a lot of antiques and things to sell.
That thing is going up like...
And
like
it's right next door to the old Model T factory.
Yeah.
So they're it's just a complete...
Well, they have
one
to do
half
is
of Detroit's firefighters are in on
there.
This.
They got to just contain it and just let the thing
That's
burn
exactly
down.
That's exactly it. That's what they're doing.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Nice update. 4 blocks there in Detroit. On fire as we speak. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George.
You've got about 40 seconds for you.
Okay, my name's Mike. I'm calling from Sacramento on KSTE.
Go ahead, Mike.
Listen to you. And I wanted to talk to you about the Mayan calendar because I saw a thing on the History Channel not too long ago, and I thought it was pretty interesting where they were talking about the 2012 number coming up in there in the Bible code, too.
I saw that too. I think I saw that exact same show. We got to do another program on the Bible code because, doggone it, unfortunately, people aren't picking out the future from the Bible code. They go back after there are events and they say, oh, look here, it's here. I wish they would pull these things out first and let us know about it. Now, Michael Drosnin claims that he talked to the Israeli government before Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated. That is true. And that may be the only case where they were able to pull out prophecy in the Bible code before it happened. But in terms of everything else, it's always after the fact. But in terms of 2012, you're right, that is in there.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.